Signs are very important things, aren't they? And when I am wandering around Kmart looking for either the kids area or the craft area or the home area, the three most important areas of Kmart, the first thing I do is walk into the store and look up to the ceiling to try and find the signs pointing to those areas I need to go in. When I'm in the grocery store looking for a particular spice, I'm walking along the aisles trying to find the little labels along the aisles to find whatever it is I'm looking for. It was cinnamon sticks yesterday. When I'm driving around, I use Google Maps or Apple Maps and signposts to point me to where I'm going. When I was overseas in January, I was looking at signs to work out where I was in the world, even though I couldn't pronounce any of them. My first paid job as a teenager was working at our local McDonald's, and we were trained to always put out that big yellow cone, the warning sign, whenever we were mopping the floors to make sure everyone knew it was a hazard and no one slipped over. Signs are important. They guide us, they locate us, they protect or inform us of our surroundings. And in the Gospel of John, there are seven things Jesus says that begin with I am. And these are like signs Jesus gives his followers to show his identity and purpose and points people to God. Even the phrase, I am, when Jesus says it, that's a sign in and of itself. If you remember from the Exodus series that we just did, these I am sayings go right back to the origins of God revealing his name to Moses in the burning bush. When Moses asked him, who shall I say sent me? God replies, I am who I am. In Hebrew, that's Yahweh. These sayings are packed with meaning and significance for us, and we're going to look at each one over the next 7 weeks. Today, the first one we're looking at is, I am the bread of life. I love that Jesus uses such a very simple, everyday metaphor, bread. The smell of bread is so good, isn't it? Nothing quite like it. It's a pantry staple for us now. It was a pantry staple for Jesus' people back then. And hence that line in the Lord's Prayer that says, daily bread. It's part of everyday life. Bread is the food that they bake and eat every single day. Bread is the daily provision that will fill their bellies and nourish their bodies for the day ahead. Bread is the thing that God chose to rain down when they were wandering around the desert for 40 years. But bread only lasts the day. Or maybe 2 days, if you're here. Bread doesn't last forever. Before too long, it begins to go a little bit hard and crusty and stale and not pleasant at all. Or if you're in a different sort of climate, it goes moldy and gross and no one wants to eat that either. Bread does not last forever. Jesus trumps this bread. He says, I am the bread of life. Jesus feeds and nourishes our very soul. He fills up those empty spaces we search to be filled by happiness or success or relationships or the thing that we love most in the world. He promises that whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He's not talking about literal food and water. He's talking about our spiritual needs. That a life without God is no life at all. And life with God can only happen by coming to or believing in Jesus, that he died on the cross and rose to new life, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He talks about a satisfaction and a contentment that can only come by faith and the peace that we now have with the creator of the universe. It's permanent. It lasts forever. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus never goes stale or moldy. His good news is always good news for us, because it's for now and forever. Once you put your trust in Jesus, you really do receive all of the spiritual blessings that he promises now and into the new life. We get forgiveness with God. We get this new family of other believers. We get a direct personal relationship with God the Father. The first fruits of the wonderful resurrected blessings we will enjoy when Jesus returns. And once you've decided to believe in Jesus, you're stuck with Jesus in like the best possible way you can be stuck with someone. He's not going to push you away or let you go. It's like having your best friend that always looks out for you and always has your best interests at heart. He's never going to drive you away. You might decide to walk away a little bit, but it's like there's this invisible string tied to Jesus pulling you back towards him. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Why is this? It's because it's not just about us deciding to come to Jesus, to believe in him. Verse 37 says that all those the Father gives me will come to me. So this is like the other side of the coin, or like a bigger piece of the puzzle going on. God, in his divine sovereignty, calls you to himself and enables you to say yes to Jesus. Now, some people might say that's a bit of a contradiction. How can both those things be true? But there's all sorts of contradictions like this in the Bible, and both are true. It's because God sees a much bigger picture of what's going on than what we do. He sees everything from the beginning to the end of our time. He knows it all. He created it all. And we are the ones who rejected him. Yet in his kindness, he still made a way for us to choose to come back to him through Jesus. And that is what we call grace. How do we know that what Jesus says is true? How do we know he won't drive us away? And the passage answers that as well. He says, because Jesus only does whatever God the Father tells him to. So the will of our Trinity God is one and the same, that Jesus will not lose any the Father has sent to him, but will raise them up on the last day. Because God's will, God the Father, is the same. His will is that everyone who believes in Jesus, who looks to him to be saved, will be saved and will have eternal life and be raised to new resurrected bodies in that last day. God the Father's will and God the Son's will are the same. They work together to bring about God's purpose. And when someone believes in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit seals the deal, dwelling in us and fulfilling the will of God in us. So if you are someone who has said yes to Jesus, the bread of life, then be assured you are saved. And that is wonderful good news. You will have eternal life, and you will be raised to new life when Jesus returns. Praise God for that, hey. Is that all, though? Is that all we really need to do? Just believe. Last year, I had the wonderful privilege to see a 14-year-old come to faith. She was someone who had so many doubts and questions, and she felt so weighed down by them. She'd been talking to her parents about it and to some of her youth leaders, and she was just so convicted by her sin that she'd never be good enough for God and couldn't work her way to heaven. One morning at church, at the start of the service, I noticed that she left the building and she had tears streaming down her face, and her mum followed her around. We'd just said together the words prepare to have communion, and she'd been racked with guilt again and had walked out. As she was talking to her mum outside the church, she said, "But mum, it just seems too easy. Isn't there more? Don't I need to do something more to be saved?" And her mum said, "No, that's the whole point. We can't do anything ourselves to be saved. Jesus did it all for us." Praise God that she decided to come to Jesus in that moment, to believe in him. She prayed and gave her life to Christ, the bread of life. And after, we celebrated that she had joined the kingdom. It's not complicated. It is really that simple. Earlier in this passage, someone else from the crowd asked a similar question. What must we do the works God requires? And Jesus' answer is simple and uncomplicated. It's just believe in the one he has sent. Just believe in Jesus. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot fill our lives with otherworldly things and expect to be saved. We can only humbly come to Jesus and say, empty-handed, "I believe." So if you're someone who hasn't accepted Jesus yet and you want to, I want to give you a moment now to say yes to Jesus, "I believe." And if you did just say yes to Jesus for the first time today, I would love to speak to you after service and celebrate with you, and I'm sure Tanya would as well. So please come and let us know. Now, there are many more people who hear the good news of Jesus and decide not to follow him. Just as there were people who saw the amazing miracles of Jesus feeding those thousands of people just the day before this conversation happened. And they didn't see that this was all a big sign pointing them to him, the one who can bring them to God, the bread of life. And there's still some people like that today. We don't necessarily know who they are. So while we wait for Jesus to return, we've got to keep sharing this good news with them, that Jesus offers eternal life. We have to keep praying for those that we know and those that we don't know, that they would come to Jesus and be saved. So that's what I'm going to pray for us now. So would you join me in praying for those people? You might like to think of them, the ones that you know as well. Loving Heavenly Father, we think of the friends and family we have who don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Please have mercy on them and help them to believe and come to Jesus. Give us boldness to keep sharing this good news that Jesus offers salvation with eternal life. Amen.